Goedenavond allemaal. Good evening. Yes, I'm a farmer and a winemaker and a normal person like any of you. And the only reason I can stand before you is because God changed my life many years ago. I'm not the old Philip anymore. I met Christ and gave my life to Him, and since then He steered my life into a different direction. So it's a great privilege to be here tonight with our family of Christ, and for the visitors, I hope you don't think we are completely crazy by now, but we had a lot of fun. It feels like when the children leaves, then it's like more than half of the church leaves. So it's great to have so many children here. So tonight, the message that was put on my heart is sustaining the fire, or feeding the fire, or volhoubare vuur. But before we actually get to that particular message, I want to take a step back. The message is on the book of Acts. Some time ago, Christopher encouraged us to all read the book of Acts. I don't know how many did. About five of you. But I love the book of Acts. It's called the book of Acts because it's like a moving picture it's like a movie of the early church, of how what happened when those first believers received the Holy Spirit and their lives were changed. And we're going to look a little bit at that later on. But what was fresh for me when I prepared this message is to look into the book of Acts and to see what did they preach in the book of Acts. So what were not their acts, but what were their words during the book of Acts? And I think it connects well with Christopher's message also the past 2 weeks, speaking on ambassadors for Christ. What message do we speak when we go out? And also the gospel that he shared with us last week. So I think if we take the Bible and we start to read from the beginning to the end, there are many possible messages that we could find in it. Many, many, many different ones. So when we look at the book of Acts and we see suddenly here we have the new believers, in a way they are also a mirror for us. They are a template of church for us, because after that I think we all steered in many directions, but it's good to test ourselves. Are we still on that same line, that same message that were shared during that time? So let's start with a few scriptures. Acts 1 verse 21 that says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." What amazing good news. Just straightforward like that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What good news is that? Okay, and then Acts 2 verse 38 to 40, "And Peter said to them, repent," meaning turn around, "and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Now, remission means you've been guilty, you're supposed to be judged, you're supposed to have a penalty, but you are acquitted from that. You are set free from that. The remission of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Be saved from this perverse generation." See how inclusive this is. It's not a gospel that they went out and preached and say, okay, this is only for some. And it's for everyone who is living with sin, who's got a history, and I'm sure that doesn't exclude anyone. All of us. We have a history. We have sins that we come with. We have a dark side. And this gospel is, come, repent, be baptized, put it behind you. It's for you. It's for your children. It's for everyone afar off. It's for everyone. Acts 3, verse 19, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And maybe tonight we might sit here and feel like, you know what? There are many things on my heart that still needs to be blotted out. Or you might think that everything has just become very stale. I need times of refreshing. Or you might feel like, sure, I don't experience God. Maybe I have long ago, or maybe I've never experienced God before. And I need to experience the presence of the Lord. And this is the good news. This is the good news those first believers carried and said, repent therefore and be converted, and that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, Acts 4 verse 10 says, let it be known to you all that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. It's when there was a healing. And then verse 38 that says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name. There's no other gospel. In my career, I connect with people of all walks of life in many different places, people believing different things, putting their hope in different things, sort of chasing different things in life. And I can honestly say there's nothing, there's no alternative to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no alternative to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The fact that he was crucified for our sins, the fact that he rose from the dead, the fact that he is alive today, the fact that he gives us his spirit when we believe in him, that is the good news. And it's good news that we don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. We just have to believe it. And just notice that it is the simple message of the gospel that was on the tongues of those early believers. And I think nowadays, often you might hear a gospel that might become, in a way, without Jesus, excluding Jesus, excluding the cross, excluding the blood of Jesus, excluding the forgiveness, the remission of sins, and then it's no good news anymore. Right, Acts 10. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And when they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. For them, it was a completely unthinkable thing that God would be so gracious to open his arms to everyone in life. Not only to their select group, but to every nation, every person. And I want you to think tonight about everyone in Bonneville, everyone that's in your circle of life that you connect with, where you work, where you go. We meet different people from all walks of life. And God wants their hearts. God wants to save every person. He is interested in all the nations. He sent out his disciples to go to all the nations. Acts 14 says, We also are men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God. There are many useless things that people are chasing nowadays. And actually, this message has never changed over 2,000 years. As during that time, people were chasing useless things, and they could turn to the living God. And today, it's exactly the same. People are chasing worthless things, useless things, to the living God. Acts 15, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledges them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts in faith. And Acts 17, you notice I'm playing hopscotch through Acts now. So we are at chapter 17 already. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him, though he is not far from one of us. You know, that's quite amazing that you are in Bonnievale for a reason. You are here for a time like this. Your boundaries are set because God wanted you to be here. And maybe you doubt, should I have been in a different place or whatever? For now, God has chosen you to be here. And you might not like your neighbor, but you can't wish him away because God actually planted your neighbor here as well. And let's see everyone that we encounter outside as God has planned them to be here in Bonnievale now. And for some reason, we are to connect. And then Acts 20, he says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Nothing else matters. Nothing can be as important as that ministry, that message that you carry. You're an ambassador to go out and share that God is gracious. Okay, the last two. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And the last one, Acts 26. I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and in an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We've run through the whole book of Acts now. All the messages, and it's all aligned. It's all the simple truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was crucified. He rose from the dead. If you believe in him, there's a remission of sins. Your sins are blotted out. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. What amazing good news that is tonight, that you know that you can be forgiven. You don't have to sort of, there's a counter, whatever price that you have to pay or no. No, Jesus paid that price in full. And this last scripture that says, in order to turn them from, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. So many people are living in darkness. They might put on a mask of happiness. They might have the bling of the world. But inside, you know, there's anxiety, there's darkness, there's fear, there's restlessness, there's no peace. And this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is offering, is to turn us from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God. And to receive forgiveness of sins. And inheritance with all the believers. Yeah. I think let's stand to our feet. We're not done yet, but I think for the moment, let's just all stand. I just want us, before we continue with the rest of the message, I just want us to do allow the opportunity to let this sink in and to let this speak to your personal heart and to allow you an opportunity to respond to this very good news of forgiveness. I just want to offer this opportunity for anyone who is here, who's never made that choice to give their lives to Jesus, who's never said, "Jesus, here's my life, come and change me. I take what you've done on the cross for me. I take that payment for my sins. And I believe that you died and that you died for me. And I believe that you rose from the dead and that you are alive today and that you are moving and working in my life. And you are stirring me to give my life to you. Now, I do believe that your Holy Spirit will come and live in me and that you can change me from the inside out." Now, if there's anyone tonight that has never given their lives to Jesus, that wants to declare their faith tonight, just put up your hand like someone who's discovered the answer. And then we'll pray with you. Anyone? Anyone? Yeah. Just giving a short while, if you feel like the Holy Spirit is moving, there's something strange in my heart, I think it's me, I think I should grab the opportunity. He's not far from anyone. Is close. Okay, is there anyone for the moment? No. Okay. I think we're going to continue and then if you feel like you want to pray with someone afterwards, you are most welcome. Okay, let's take our seats again. Okay, I want to invite anyone. Is there anyone here tonight that has ever before been in this position where you've given your life to Jesus and experienced it as not normal, as supernatural in a way? Anyone? Yes. Has anyone given their lives to Christ before, maybe many years ago, and experienced that as not just a normal thing, it was supernatural? Yeah. Okay. Anyone wants to share quickly in 1 minute what the experience was or what the change was in your life? Christopher shared last week what the change was in his life. Anyone else want to quickly share what was that experience when you gave your life?
I'll try to give my testimony quickly. I was 13 years old when I encountered God for the first time, and I lived like a good life, church life, went to church regularly with my parents, and then a group of students from Stellenbosch University visited our town and testified to us and challenged us to invite Jesus into our lives. And I did that with lots of tears. The Holy Spirit convicted me of my sins. And I knew that something radically changed in my life. The Word became alive to me. I couldn't stop reading. I was 13 years old. I couldn't wait to get home after school to be with the Lord, to soak in His Word. And I know that it changed. I couldn't stop speaking about Him. When I encountered someone in the ladies' rooms at school, I couldn't stop speaking. And I was thirsty for His Word. So even today, I mean, I've lived a life following Jesus, but many times further away from Him, sometimes nearer. In all those times, I never forgot that He's real, He's living. It's like real estate, it's different. And I'm so grateful to Him that He stayed with me, His Spirit, and He's pruned me, and He's watered this little plant of faith and brought me to such a deep place of joy and peace with Him. I wouldn't change that for anything in the world.
Thank you, Marietta. Yes, I think I'm not going to give an opportunity for some more, because that was exactly what I wanted to hear. It wasn't arranged. But it's amazing that what happens is, I mean, in my case, for instance, someone prayed for me. It didn't feel like anything different. And then from that next day onwards, I started realizing everything is lighter. Everything is lighter visually, but also lighter. It felt like I'd been carrying things all my life and was gone. And then what you'd mentioned now, the love for the Word of God. Suddenly, I was so hungry to hear anything, and it became alive. Before that, it was just ink on paper, and then suddenly it became alive. I felt emotions of, like, joy and tears at the same time. And the amazing thing is I started feeling this love for people that I never used to have, for all people. And then I realized it's not me. It's like there was a plug unplugged from me, my old life drained out of me, and I was filled with something that's not me. It's very fresh, and it's very inspiring, and I experienced so much power and new energy that I wanted to just run, and I felt unstoppable. I felt really unstoppable, and I had such a measure of faith. It was really like I knew that it was supernatural. It's not normal. It's not just natural. It is supernatural. And I want to continue our message by with an illustration. And I hope it works without burning down the building. I'm going to try. Okay. So, in the book of Acts, we also read of when the Holy Spirit was poured out on people. It was like a visual fire as well. So, I don't know if we'll see that tonight. But what I wanted to show you tonight is that when we invite Christ into our lives, sometimes it's without any feeling or anything. But when we look back, after a while, we know that things have changed. And for me personally, and for Marietta, it was a supernatural thing. Although it might not have been visible for other people, we knew inside that something has changed, which changed us from just who we were to someone new. And for us, it was spectacular. For us, it was surprising, and I want to illustrate that like a fire that started. There's an extinguisher there, so hopefully we don't need that. Okay, I think for the moment. I know. Okay. So, your faith might start as a small light, a small fire, and then and it gets ignited. And what the first thing I think we need to realize is that it's only the Spirit of God that can ignite our faith. It's not something that we can do. We can't fabricate it. It is something that the Spirit needs to do in our lives. And set our lives alight, and then there comes a warmth, and there comes light into our lives, and it's different from the cold, dark life that we may have experienced for many years. Okay, so this is just a visual picture of that. Now I want five volunteers quickly to come and stand next to me. Yeah, let's take that out of the way. Okay. Okay, 5 volunteers to come and stand next to me. I've got different types of firewood here. Okay, Rikus, thank you. Rikus, take 2 or 3 pieces there, and Franzel, take 2 or 3. Sophlin, take 2 or 3 pieces there. Alison, yeah. Okay, so it's actually working quite beautifully. Yeah, it feels good. They are forecasting very cold weather for this coming week. And so when you are very cold this coming week, hopefully you will think back of this message as well. Okay, so what will happen if we don't add wood to this fire? It will burn out. So we need to sustain the fire by adding wood to the fire. Now, what happened in the book of Acts is there wasn't just this one moment of coming to faith and receiving the Holy Spirit, and now it slowly become, the fire became lower and lower and died out and became ash later on. No. When we look at those first believers, we saw this recurring filling of the Holy Spirit and acts of the apostles as they worked miracles, spoke out boldly, and changed the whole community of people as they came to Christ. Come, please, we need some wood. Soon, quickly. Okay. Yeah, just in time. Okay, there's a timing thing when it comes to sustaining a fire. Do you agree? If we are too late, then we are too late. The fire will go out. And I think Rikus was just in time. Okay. And now we have different types of wood here. There's quince kweper, there's wingerdstompies, there's jacaranda tree stumps, and bloekom. And what we read in the book of Acts, let's just read there. Okay, so we had the fire ignited by that first word. So those who received the word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. So that's when the fire started in the lives of those believers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. I think you can come and add some more. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Okay. I think you can also come and add your wood, and Rikus and Franzel, you can't go anywhere because you're still, you have to just hold up that for me, Alison, Fadjogian, Elkin. Okay. So we see several things that the young believers devoted themselves to. They gave themselves for a number of things. The first was the apostles' teaching, and we illustrated that by reading what words crossed their mouths, their lips when they started speaking. Those were in line with the apostles' teaching. That was the pure, simple gospel of Jesus Christ, dying, raising from the dead, and forgiveness of sins. So the young believers devoted themselves to that teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And I actually added the fifth one because I realized that that actually is also an amazing motivational thing to keep our fire going, is when awe comes upon every soul and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So when we read the book of Acts, and I want to actually send you to go and read it again. And there's another one. Where's our number 5? Yes, please, Dave. So see how lovely this fire is going. It almost went out, and just in time, more wood was added, different types of wood. And the different types of wood, starting with Dave there, what do you have there? The breaking of bread. And we spoke about that. Let's come together more spontaneously, more regularly, every time we have a meal, to say, remember the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. And we remember the gospel of Jesus Christ every time we are together. The second one, prayer. As to say, this is our next type of firewood to put into our lives to keep the fire going, is, do we pray enough? There's, of the, I think, 28 chapters of the book of Acts, in 20 of those chapters, prayer is mentioned. So it's like praying was so, their lives were marinated in prayer. So if our fire feels a little bit cold in our lives, our fire of faith, do we pray enough? Do we pray together enough? And let's do that also more spontaneously. Let's just ask a friend, come, let's pray together. Let's not wait for something on the church calendar. Let's pray more often. Fellowship. We have our community groups on Tuesdays, Wednesdays. Make sure you engage with other believers in fellowship. Let's come together regularly, spontaneously. If we speak about what is the frequency of adding wood to our fire, the one word that stands out for me in the book of Acts is daily. And daily things happened, and daily they came together, and daily, like the manna, yes. Daily new believers were added to the number. So daily is quite a thing that we can keep in mind to say, you know what, we shouldn't let our fire burn down in 24 hours' time. We need to break bread, have prayer, fellowship, and then teaching, the lering, the teaching of the apostles, and the awe, the fear that came upon everyone, the awe, the verwondering, the wonder of experiencing signs and wonders. It's very motivational when we have a testimony of someone coming here to say, you know what, we experienced something miraculously out there. When we shared the teaching of the apostles, when we opened our mouths and spoke, when we prayed for someone, someone was healed, then it stirs up the fire. It's like wind blowing up the fire of our lives. And I think it has application for us individually. The question I think we can ask ourselves tonight is, what does your fire look like? Did you have a time in your life, maybe many years ago, when you did experience coming to Christ, rebirth, a flame coming up in your life, a hunger for the word, an excitement about Jesus? But what is your fire like today? Maybe it has died down a little bit. Maybe it feels like it's just ashes. Let's trust the Holy Spirit to come and blow into your life again, to light up the fire again. And let's use these tools, these different types of firewood, to add to our fire individually. But then also as a church, how on fire are we on this mission of Jesus to bring light to the world, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring people back to life? How on fire are we? Have we been neglecting some of the firewood? Have we missed our timing on some of these? If we read the book of Acts, thank you, you can go and sit. If we read the book of Acts, we see sort of a recurring pattern almost. Like those believers, they were together and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they went out and then miracles happened. And then the signs and wonders gave them opportunity to speak, to explain what was happening. And then they pointed to Jesus and then they shared the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they got in trouble. And then they got in jail or they got persecuted. they experience suffering, that's actually a piece of firewood that we could add as well. That suffering can also be very good for to grow fire. If it's too convenient, if it's too safe, then our fires go down a little bit. So that's another one. And then after that, they came together again. And then they shared testimonies of what happened and how God came through for them. And then they went out filled with the Holy Spirit again. So it's almost like a cycle. And if we break the cycle, the question is, isn't that why our fire sometimes goes out? Because somewhere we didn't go out and share the word. Somewhere we didn't go to that person where we should have prayed for that person and a miracle could have happened in that life. Maybe we didn't bring back that testimony to fellowship. Maybe we should have broken bread and just focused on what Jesus did again, just to blow oxygen into that fire again. All right. I think I'm going to land it there. I think let's just pray together. Let's just stand. And I think together we can confess before Christ that it is us who allow the fire to go out. Although it's only the Holy Spirit that can ignite our fire, there is something that we should do, and that is we should put on the firewood at the right time and regularly enough. And I want to confess, and I confess with us as a church, Jesus, that we do not pray enough. We do not break bread often enough. We do not have fellowship enough. We're not obsessed enough with your teaching, with your gospel. We don't follow our leaders enough. And we don't see enough miracles. We don't see enough signs and wonders. And it's not because of you, it's because of us. Yeah. Lord Jesus, we want to open our lives. We want to hand ourselves to you individually, but also as a church. Come and blow new life into our lives. Come and blow new life into our church, to go out and be the light and be the warmth for a very cold and dark world out there. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Philip. Isn't that, I don't think you will forget that. I will not forget that. And even my wife who's not yet will smell it. I want to pray for us as a church as well. We've prayed individually. Jesus, as a church, it's cold and dark outside, and there are many who are lonely and lost and are shivering and are cold. Lord, as we go even tonight from this place, I ask, Lord, as a church, that our fires as a church would be burning bright, and that those who are cold would be drawn to the fire, and that they would find the life of Jesus, the life of Christ, that they would find it. And that, Lord, I pray for us as a church. Help us, Lord. Ignite our fire so that those out in the world who are lost. I feel convicted, Lord, as Philip preached tonight. I felt convicted. There was a time where, amen, I'll land with this. There was a time when I used to pray for sick, when I saw someone limping or whatever, there was a time in my life where my default inclination was to pray for them for healing, so that if God does heal them, I would ask them if they know Jesus. And I haven't done that, I don't want to just say months, but years. So I feel convicted to pray for sick people more. Yeah.
If I have to summarize this message, we have to act.